sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Second hour of the show, and great to have you with us on this Friday. Big weekend coming up, and we'll talk about it in just a few moments. Tim Bay, Columbus Dispatch, joins us in just a few moments. Our thanks in the opening half hour to Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football and basketball, and also the Stanley Jackson of BTN. You missed any of it, it's on the Steve Jones Show podcast. Still to come, I just mentioned Tim Bay, Columbus Dispatch, and also Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle, coming up in this hour of the show. And this show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, water, soda, snacks, the peanuts roasted fresh and hot every day, bags right there at the register for you, very tempting as you leave, and also the pickle bar is second to none. Love the dill pickles. Love the barrel pickles. Incredible. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's a couch potato weekend. Stock up. Stock up tonight. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. What a great dealership. And so proud to have them as the sponsor of the Sunbury Motors studio. Because of them, we're able to do this show the way we do it. We thank them so much for that, and our thanks to Brewers Outlet as well, and to all of our great sponsors. All right, this half hour, Tim May, Columbus Dispatch. They're beat writers across the country and columnists. They go out, they do their job. They're very, very good at what they do. We're going to have Rich Scarcella in the final half hour, certainly one of the best as well. And Tim is without question one of the best. Tim, welcome to the show. It is great to have you with us.
Hey, glad to be here, my man.
All right.
By the way, from listening to your lead in there, it sounds like you're making plenty of money. Go ahead now.
All right, better believe it. I mean, it's just rolling in. All right. Tim had a good one when he was talking to the producer. He says, "You're ready to go on, Steve?" He said, "What if I said no? What would you do then?"
Hey, I was born ready to talk. That's one of the few things I've always said. You know, I'd have a great job if I didn't have to write.
Well, we're lucky you do write, because there's some great stuff. Everyone has had the sense from the outside looking in that while Ohio State's being talented, they're winning, that they're slightly out of sync. Are they slightly out of sync?
I mean, it depends on how you – yeah, they're slightly out of sync. I mean, have they underachieved? It sure looks that way based on their competition. They have won games. You know, they've won the games, but they've been behind, I think, in four of their six games this year. And I don't think anybody expected really them to have to rally maybe until they started playing like Penn State or Michigan State or Michigan, you know, as this year went along. And that's been the interesting thing. I mean, the word I would use instead of out of sync, which is probably sync, and a Orchestra Dictionary probably says inconsistent or not in unison. Right. They've been not in unison a few times, and they've been very inconsistent on occasion. And a lot of that was due to turnovers and penalties. And they get a lot of that straightened out last week. But the Maryland defense should not be confused in any way with Penn State's defense. But Ohio State scored 49 and actually had a pretty decent game and found some of its, for want of another word, its identity. I mean, they finally decided to use JT Barrett, the quarterback whom I'm sure all Penn State fans remember from a year ago, who had his two touchdowns rushing in the overtimes. They got him involved again in the red zone, and they've got Cardale Jones running the show from the goal line to the 20. And so, you know, it's That worked very well last week. Whether they continue that really remains to be seen. Even Urban Meyer, okay, that's not necessarily how they'll go every week. But as well as it worked last week, it's hard to believe they wouldn't try it again this week. So my point is, this point in the season, even though they had quite a few number of players back on offense and defense, the new guys have been trying to work in, and the new way of doing things find itself a consistency standpoint, and we'll see how that goes on Saturday night.
Now, we saw Cardale Jones last year in the three big games, which they all won. and all the way through Wisconsin, Alabama, Oregon. Now he's had the full shot of being the starting quarterback every week. A, Tim, how has he handled it? And B, in press conferences, how do you think Urban Meyer has handled the questions about it?
Well, Urban Meyer has been, in my opinion, pretty straight up with us from the standpoint of he's their starting quarterback, because in Urban Meyer's mind, and that's the only mind, by the way, a football team that matters is the head coach when it comes to the starting quarterback. The only mind, I mean, it is the veto, the item veto vote, you know. I mean, he determined that Cardale Jones is his starting quarterback, and he's been pretty, for the most part, pretty straight up with that throughout. Number two, basically said, you know, Cardale Jones was a quarterback at the end of the year last year, and he didn't get beat out of preseason camp. You know, a lot of us, you know, you get to see like a practice and a half of preseason camp, so who am I to argue?
Right,
but,
sure, yeah.
You know, you just figured what happened a year ago would happen this year, that J.T. Barrett would beat him out just based on a consistency basis, or maybe just being able to touch more buttons. I keep calling it in the cockpit of the football offense. You know, it just seems like J.T. Barrett gives you a few more options that Cardale doesn't. But Cardale does have that big arm, which intrigues everybody. And number two, he has played very well from time to time this year. Last week was probably his best game yet. And, you know, we came out of that game talking about the two quarterbacks, but at the same time, he threw for a career high 291 yards last week and completed a career high 21 passes. So, you know, he had a very sneakily good game last week. And interestingly, Urban Meyer named both him and J.T. Barrett the offensive players of the game. But to go back to your question, I digress a lot. I'm sorry about that. I mean, Urban Meyer just offers us his answer, what he's thinking at that very moment, you know, and kind of look at it sideways when you don't really quite understand what he's saying. And that may be it may look like he's looking at you sideways, because then you tilt your head, you know.
Yeah,
he may maintain his tilt while you tilt your head like, okay. Yeah. But, you know, putting your finger on why one is starting over the other, I think it's very difficult for even him to say. And number two, they've both been extremely successful over the last year and a half. And, you know, since the Virginia Tech game of a year ago, they've won 19 straight games. So it's kind of hard to sneeze at when you really get right down to it.
You've seen a lot of great running backs over the years at Ohio State. What makes Ezekiel Elliott to you a special running back?
Number one, he's tough. He always answers the bell. Number two, he is very decisive as a running back. Matter of fact, last week was the first time he let that decisiveness get the most of him. I mean, well, first time in a while, as he said, he got impatient last week. I mean, there were yards there. He probably should have had a second straight 200-yard game, and instead he struggled to get to stay at 100-plus for the 11th straight game. But when he's patient behind his veteran offensive line, he sees the seams, he sees the cracks in the wall there, and he's heroic enough to, like, step through them. And when he takes off, he has about as good a first step through the seam as anybody I've ever seen. And then on top of it, as Keith Byers was a guy that played for Ohio State back in the mid-'80s, who had, in singularly, in my opinion, the most impressive season ever as Ohio State running back until he got hurt late in the year. I mean, as Keith Byers said, you know, when with Ezekiel, if he's even with you, he's leaving you once he gets to the second level. He hasn't always outrun everybody, but I think that's what sets him apart, is once he, as I say, sees the wild green yonder, he goes for it. And but then past that, he is probably as good a running back as there is in the country at pass protection, and he's probably the best running back, as Urban Meyer keeps saying, without the ball in the nation from the standpoint of blocking. I mean, if you go back and watch the spin and sprint by Braxton Miller in the opening game against Virginia Tech, you'll see Ezekiel Elliott throw two big-time blocks on that play. I mean, you know, most guys throw that one block and, okay, my work's done here. I mean, he just keeps seeking out ways to help the team. And he also catches the ball very well out of the backfield. I mean, he is really as well-rounded a back as I've ever covered. And also, you know, it sounds like I'm promoting him for president, but he's about as selfless as it gets. I mean, in that regard, I mean, he knows he's pretty good, but he knows Wentz cometh his strength, and that's the offensive line providing him the opportunity to get to the same level.
Yeah, Jack Ham and I last year on the broadcast and talking about him made the same points, how great he is without the ball, how great he is in terms of, you know, catching the football, then, of course, running. We felt he was the best all-around running back in the country that we saw last year at any time. Defensively, obviously we've had the privilege here at Penn State of seeing some great linebacking combinations. You at Ohio State have seen some great linebacking combinations. What do you like about this particular group and all the different things that they bring to the table at linebacker?
You know, the interesting thing, when I've gotten that question a lot for some reason when I'm on radio shows, and I'm not knocking you because I think it's a good question because it deserves probably a lot more time than we're going to give it right here.
Yeah.
But linebacking today is not like it was back in the 80s. You know, Ohio State at one time had Chris Spielman and Pepper Johnson on the same team for
right.
2 years, and they were very good together,
yep.
You know. And then at one point, Ohio State had A.J. Hawk, Anthony Schlegel, and Bobby Carpenter
in the mid-2000s.
And then before that, in the national championship game, they had national championship year in 2002, they had Matt Wilhelm and some guys, Robert Reynolds. Those were two really good players who went on to play in the NFL extensively. My point is, These days, not only do linebackers do more chasing than they do stepping into the gap and nailing people, although that part of the game is coming back if you're watching, you know,
yeah,
especially up at Michigan. That's what he's bringing back to the Big Ten that some other teams still keep some semblance of. But I'm digressing here. Linebackers are, in my opinion, like a Raekwon McMillan at Ohio State. He was considered the best inside linebacker prospect in the country when he came up 2 years ago out of Georgia. And he's being asked to do all kinds of different things with the Ohio State defense. You'll see him line up sometimes on the edge. And now, Saturday night, I'm not sure how much that'll be. They may be more conventional than ever this year because Penn State does run a, for want of another word, a more conventional offense than pretty much anyone Ohio State's played this year.
Right.
But that's not saying anything bad about State. But the point is, they ask linebackers to do a lot of different things. You know, your will linebacker sometimes is ipso facto your middle linebacker. So I think this group with Darren Lee, Raekwon McMillan, and Joshua Perry are playing as well as any group in the country. But, you know, you get out of position one play, and all of a sudden Maryland's quarterback runs 75 on you. Now, Christian Hackenberg probably is not going to go 75, but he may go 50. You know? So, the way Ohio State is playing right now, too, they're being very aggressive. They're really relying on guys taking care of their responsibility from play to play. And if one guy gets knocked out of his gap or out of his responsibility, you know, you can have some wide-open plays there. But they may come back the next play and gash you.
Yeah, I'll tell you what Jack's definition, that when he looks at what he thinks is a great linebacker, and I think that he appears to be a pretty good source, Tim, is that
a guy that
is a two-way linebacker, can play the run, can plug the gap, but also understands the proper depth of a drop in a pass drop, and that you know, that disrupts a play. To him, that becomes a great all-around linebacker.
Well, I like the linebackers like you're just talking about. I mean, we, you know, I grew up, I'm 61 years old, so I've seen, I watched Jack Ham play live, you know what I mean? I mean,
sure.
I've seen him
lot
of guys in the last 55 years when I actually was paying attention. And what gets me is just the savvy, you know, the guys that have the savvy who put themselves within the scheme of their responsibility, put themselves then into the way of the play, you know? And Jack Ham clearly really watched number 43, who really came out at the end of the year last year. I mean, nobody even knew who he was, you know, before that year started. And he's a guy that really shows some savvy out there. So does Raekwon McMillan to a certain extent. But when you're called, you know, when it's your responsibility to line everybody up and stuff, sometimes that gets taken away a little bit. But he's led the team in tackles the last couple of weeks, looking really good. And then Joshua Perry is a really smart guy who on occasion just makes a huge play. And that's what they've gotten from those guys. But I'm telling you, what's making it happen, they've really had a rise in their defensive end play over the last several weeks with Tyquan Lewis, stepping up as one of the starters. And Sam Hubbard, a guy that was a safety in high school way back when, is now a defensive end, playing extremely well. He was their defensive player of the game last week. He got his first interception. And, of course, I think most fans remember Joey Bosa.
Yeah, exactly. And Bosa, obviously, great player. Michigan, we know, is the game for Ohio State, right there at the end of the schedule. This is the only opponent that Penn State has played every year since joining the Big Ten, which is now, in for Penn State, their 23rd season.
Yeah.
On the Columbus side of it, what does this game – what is this just another game to fans in Columbus, or does Penn State have a spot to fans there?
No, it's not another game. Based on the way the last year went, I mean, it's pretty much what you've done for me lately, right? I mean,
yeah.
That was a team that almost ended any kind of dream national championship last year. It was flickering, you know, in the great whiteout.
Yes,
it was flickering over at Penn State until Joey Bosa's shove sack, as I called it, ended that game. And so I think they feel like the battle is rejoined, but, you know, 2 years ago, it was 63-14 over here, I think, in Ohio State. I mean, it was something, you know, that's the thing. It's like, it's kind of been, Ohio State's played at Penn State, it's been a pretty good game, but a few times over here in the last, you know, in the last decade or so, it's been sort of one-sided. And that's, I'm just talking generally. So that's what's kind of maybe taking away a little bit of the luster of that so-called rivalry. But it, like I just said, you know, I mean, everybody remembers that game from a year ago. I mean, let's face it. If you give Christian Hackenberg time, he can carve up anybody in the country. I mean, I have liked that quarterback since I watched him play on video in high school. I mean, I think he's phenomenal in some respects, but he clearly is a man that needs his time in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's kind of fearless back there, which sometimes hurts him a little bit, sometimes gets him banged up a little bit.
Right.
But, I mean, I just think Ohio State – I mean, even Joey Bosa was talking about him yesterday. I mean, he's one of the elite quarterbacks. I mean, that pocket presence, you know, the kind of guy that Joey Bosa might be going against for the next 10 or 12, 15 years in the NFL. They understand, the Ohio State fans and the Ohio State players understand the challenge. And for two, like I prefaced with way back when, this is the best defense they faced by far this year. So that's the challenge, and I think Ohio State fans all know it.
Tim, absolute pleasure. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday night out there.
You got it, man. Tell Jack Ham I said, you know, take two and hit the right.
I will. I'll quote you on that.
Sorry, man. See you later.
Okay, Tim. Tim May, Columbus Dispatch. Now, was that fun? That was fun. That was fun, wasn't it? And not only that, but he mixed in great insight as well. I mean, Tim's just great to talk to, fun to talk to. So our thanks to Paul Keels, play-by-play voice, Ohio State football, men's basketball, Stanley Jackson, BTN. They joined us in the opening hour. Tim May, Columbus Dispatch. We just heard him. In case you missed any of that or the other interview, Steve Jones Show podcast, check that out. It'll catch you up to date on everything. Rich Scarcella still to come in the final half hour of the show as we get the Penn State perspective from one of the truly outstanding beat writers as well. Tomorrow night's game will be at 8 o'clock, actually an 8:12 kick. We're on beginning at 6:30 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK with the Dietz and Watson Tailgate Show. Roger Corey, Jeff Tarman, Joe Putnam, who's been a great addition for us this year. I hope you've enjoyed the great work and insight that Joe has given this year. And, of course, the best there is, Jack Ham. As terrific as Paul Keels has it with Jim Lachey and Marty Bannister and Skip Mossack, I probably have it even better with the people I work with. And that's pure prejudice on my part, everybody, pure prejudice on my part. But, boy, it's great to walk in the booth every week and work with those guys. They make my life exponentially easy. Tonight, Shamokin and Shikellamy. Should be a good game tonight. 7 o'clock, Kevin and the Chief. Dave Ritchie on beginning at 6:30 this evening. Of course, Selins Grove undefeated. Lewisburg plays tonight. Milton as well. Milton on WMLP, 1380. Selins Grove on Eagle 107. And, of course, Matt and gang on the air on 100.9 The Valley at 6:30 with Lewisburg this evening. So that's all coming up tonight. And tomorrow, it's a defining day in the Big Ten. In week three of the conference season, week seven of the season overall, but in week three, there are four undefeated teams in the Eastern Division. They're playing each other tomorrow. Penn State at Ohio State, Michigan at home with Michigan State. The two winners come out 3-0. The two winners then put themselves on a fast track for showdowns in November if it continues to play out this way. That's what tomorrow's about, a defining day in the conference on two different fronts. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We go to the top of the hour, news coming up, or bottom of the hour, news coming up, and then Rich Scarcella here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Final half hour of the show for the week. Our thanks to Tim May, Columbus Dispatch, Stanley Jackson, BTN, and the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football and basketball, Paul Keels, for joining us on the show today. If you missed any of the show, Steve Jones Show podcast, check that out. And also, we've got big football games coming up tonight. Of course, Selins Grove on Eagle 107 this evening, undefeated. Lewisburg on the Valley 100.9, looking forward to that as well. WMLP has Milton tonight. Our outstanding play-by-play guys, Pat O'Brien, Matt Catrillo, and also Steve Williams getting set to go. But, of course, our feature game here on News Radio 1070 WKOK with the outstanding Kevin Herb and the outstanding Chief Dave Ritchie on hand. 6:30, the pregame tonight, 7 o'clock the kickoff. Shikellamy, big showdown tonight with Shamokin. Big in the playoff race as we have now hit week 7 of the season. At 7 o'clock the start, 6:30 the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. It is a couch potato weekend. It's going to be a little colder this weekend, a little windy, a few showers. So look, just lock down indoors. Go out, make the run to Brewers Outlet tonight. Get the best in imports, domestics, microbrews. Did I mention beer? And also soda, water, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. The pickle bar is second to none. Plenty of parking at Brewers Outlet, plenty of help to get whatever you need out to the car. It's a well laid out store, very organized, easy to get around, and plenty of help to, again, haul if need be into the car. You know, I have a few people over this weekend. Enjoy. You've got the NLCS, the ALCS. You've got Michigan, Michigan State tomorrow. You got Penn State, Ohio State tomorrow night. You got the Steelers on Sunday. You got the Eagles on Monday night. It's a big weekend. Big weekend. So stock up at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin's been driving great Sunbury Motors vehicles. No one being revealed tonight. Looking forward to that very, very much. Well, we've heard a lot from Ohio State during the course of this show. Tim May, Columbus Dispatch, Stanley Jackson, BTN. Maybe more of a neutral feel, but even though Stanley was a quarterback there, he does a great job on BTN. And Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State. Now we're going to get a little feel from the Penn State side of it. Rich Scarsella, the outstanding beat writer and good friend from the Reading Eagle. Rich, welcome. It's great to have you with us on the show.
Good afternoon, Steve.
We were talking earlier about the youth of Penn State, which statistically is right now the youngest team of the Big Ten. And at the opposite end, a lot of people don't realize the oldest team of the Big Ten in terms of what they're doing is Michigan. What's it been like for you watching this team grow as the season has gone along?
Well, I think if you're a Penn State fan, you have to be excited about the future when you watch guys like Brandon Polk and, excuse me, even some of the other receivers like Chris Godwin, only a sophomore, and Deshaun Hamilton, and some of the younger guys on defense like Jason Kabinda and even Manny Bowen and Jay Cooper when they've been in there. I think it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, I know some people are a little impatient and may, you know, have wanted Penn State to be a 10 or 11-win team this year, but you know, this year is, I think you got it. If you're a fan, you got to take have a lot of faith and a lot of trust in the young players that you're seeing out there.
Rich, from your observation, what is right at the moment with Penn State, and then what needs to be better?
Well, I don't think there's any question that what's right with Penn State is the defense, especially the defensive line. I don't think there's a better defensive line in the Big Ten. Maybe there's one in the country somewhere, but I don't think there's a better one in the Big Ten. It's fun. You know, you ask about fun. It's fun watching Carl Nassib play. It's fun watching Anthony Zettel and Austin Johnson play. I think the linebackers have been surprisingly really good since Jason Kabinda moved to the middle. I think that's been a real pleasant surprise. And, you know, this defense is really good. I think the return game, I think, you know, people sometimes are miss this, but I think the return game has been a huge upgrade over last year, whether it's the punt returns or the kick returns. Offensively, obviously, there's some work to do, but I do understand the approach that James Franklin and John Donovan have taken. They've cut down the number of turnovers considerably. That's been a big point of emphasis, obviously, and they've done a good job of taking care of the football. You know, I would like to see them protect Christian Hackenberg a little better. I'd like to see the run game be a little more explosive. I'd like to see the receivers get a little bit more separation. So, you know, we'll see how these next six games go. I think we're going to learn a lot about the team Saturday night at Ohio State.
Right. What player or players, as you've had a chance to interview them and maybe get a little insight into them, maybe even know them a little bit, that have even surprised you in discussing, in talking with them?
In what way, Stephen?
Just getting to know them a little bit, and you're like, hey, you know, seems like a good kid, know him a little bit better now, has a good story. Who would fall into that category?
Well, I think that the two guys that have been pretty surprising to me, because I didn't get a chance to talk, well, one wasn't available last year, and the other one was available, but didn't get a chance to talk to them. Jason Kabinda and Troy Reader are very engaging guys, very, very, you know, when you ask them a question, you get an answer, and it's not a 3 or 4 word answer. You know, we know Jordan Lucas he's terrific. I mean, I don't know, you can go on and on about him, but those two guys especially, and I think Andrew Nelson is another guy who gives very thoughtful and, you know, considerate answers. You know, do I know these guys? No, I mean,
right,
I interview them, but I don't know them. But in terms of engaging and having a good Q&A, I think, you know, Anthony Zettel's great. Austin Johnson is terrific. You know, I could go on and on. There's a lot of guys on this team who are really good. Deshaun Hamilton, who was on this morning, was really good. So, yeah, but Kabinda and Reader really stick out in my mind. That they've been sort of a revelation to me.
Job-wise for a moment, Rich, what kind of game plan do you put together in your mind when the game is over? Because you know what the media room situation is like, home and away. So what kind of game plan do you try to put in place as to how you need to attack it and move the room?
Well, that's funny you should ask that. What I've done this year, I've really scaled back and really focused in on maybe three, maybe four guys at the most, instead of trying to hit all corners of the room, because it just can't be done physically. And that's really helped. I sort of, you know, for some reason, the story, it has kind of written itself in terms of, you know, the angle was always obvious to me. It's not always obvious, but it's been pretty obvious every game this year, whatever that may be, whether it was Anthony Zettel playing the day after his father passes away, whether it's last week where Christian Hackenberg not only throws the ball down the field, but also shows that he can run out of the pocket. So, you know, you kind of have an idea in your head before you get downstairs and who you hope to talk to. That doesn't always work out either, but if they're not always there. But I've limited it to, like, maybe three or four guys anymore, and it's because it's just too difficult to get around that room.
Right. This week's game with Ohio State, how often have you seen them? Have you seen them in snippets? Have you seen them in entire games? And if so, then what evaluation do you have?
Yeah, it's hard. I haven't seen them in entire games. I've seen them in snippets. I saw a little bit of the Indiana game while I was in the Beaver Stadium press box. I saw a little bit of the Virginia Tech game. You know, what I've seen and what I know is that they're very explosive. They have a lot of weapons on offense. I think it's going to be imperative that Penn State limit their big plays, and I think they can and will. You talk about the two quarterbacks who are immensely talented, Cardale Jones and JT Barrett, and then you have Braxton Miller and Ezekiel Elliott too. I mean, and you have a very good offensive line. They've been able to wear down opponents. I'm not sure if that's going to be the case Saturday night. Defensively, their corners stick out. They're really good, and that will be interesting to see. To see if Penn State's able to get the ball down the field against them.
What are a couple of notions you have going into this game that are swing factors for you that take it one way or the other?
Well, I think the two biggest things are defensively keeping Ohio State from making big plays.
Yeah.
Okay, that's one. And on the other side is I think if Penn State's offense can limit its turnovers to one or none, I think they can be in the game for a long time. I do. I think if those two things happen, I think Penn State can be in the game for a long time. I still think Ohio State will win the game. I don't see it being anything close to what 2 years ago was out there, 63-14. I don't see that. But I do see Ohio State winning the game.
When you watch Elliott play at running back, what are we seeing?
Jeez. I mean, strong, he's fast, he's got great vision. I don't know if there's anything that you don't like about him. I really like him. I know I was asked, I think on a chat, or somebody asked me who I thought was going to win the Heisman Trophy this year. This was before the year, and I really thought it was going to be him.
Right.
That's my – but now, with all the playmakers on Ohio State, I still think he's the guy. So I think if he's successful, I think then the whole Ohio State offense is successful. So I really, really like the way he plays.
Now, obviously, Chubb is hurt. But the difference between Elliott, Chubb, and Fournette, to me, when I watch them, is that Elliott is the best of the three without the ball.
Oh, no question. Yeah. He's a complete player.
He
was on a teleconference with us last night, and he apparently he's really improved with his pass catching. And I forgot it. I didn't realize he had a wrist injury last year. One of his teammates said that. And so, I mean, I think he's the complete package. I mean, I really like him. Maybe if he enters the draft, I'm sure he'll go in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, it's you watch him block, you watch him lead block. I always thought he was a good pass receiver to begin with anyway. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, obviously the way he runs the football, the guy's just a complete running back. And, you know, I think if he's taken out of the mix – say he's taken out of the mix for whatever reason. I think it changes dynamically everything about their offense.
Yes. Yeah, very much. I would agree with you on that. I would definitely agree with you on that. I think everything they do, whether it's Jones or Barrett at quarterback, revolves around Elliott.
What do you think about that move of putting Barrett in the red zone? And a coach's definition of red zone is different than what the statistical is. It's 25 in.
Yeah, it's funny, Steve. I don't like using two quarterbacks.
Right.
I don't. That's just me. If you don't have a starting if you don't have one start, or if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any quarterbacks. I really believe right. that. But this has worked for Urban Meyer. Worked at Florida in 2006 when he had Tebow and Leak, and they won the national championship. And who am I to question that? But as a guy who's seen a lot of football games, I don't like it. I mean, I think both guys are terrific. And the other part of the equation is, the other part of the whole package is, as Urban Meyer said, you got to deal with egos, personalities, and families. Juggling these two guys, and he said that he loved to see the smile on JT Barrett's face last week after he ran for three touchdowns. Well, yeah, no kidding. Is it the best thing for them? I think we'll find out in the long run.
Yeah, good point, Rich. Always enjoy it. Look forward to seeing you out in Columbus. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. My pleasure.
Thanks so much, Rich. Always great to have Rich Scarcella on the show, getting his perspective on everything that's going on as Penn State gets ready for Ohio State tomorrow night at the Horseshoe in Columbus. It'll be an 8 o'clock start, technically 8:12, 6:30 the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. As I mentioned, it's a defining day in the Big Ten. You get in the Big Ten East, there are four undefeated teams, and it happens to be Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State. Well, they're all squaring off tomorrow. Michigan at home with Michigan State. That's the 3:30 game. And then Penn State, Ohio State. The two winners come out of it, obviously 3-0, but it also puts them on the fast track for showdowns in November. So that's the importance and why tomorrow is one of those defining days in the Big Ten. And that makes it fun, makes it intriguing. And this is something, a lot of people, we do these shows. And we do five shows a week here, and we usually take Monday and maybe a little bit of Tuesday, do a postmortem, and then we start turning the corner and start getting ready for the next game. Next week we'll be talking about Maryland. We'll get Johnny Holiday on the show, and then the week after we'll talk about Illinois, and we'll get Brian Barnhart on the show and so forth. And that's what but we can come up with all the preconceived notions that we want to take you into a game. What has made sports so intriguing and has just changed the landscape of television is that sports has that element of unpredictability to it. I mean, we can talk about what we think is going to happen, and sometimes it plays out the way we think. But more often than not, it doesn't. Hey, look at the Cubs with the home runs this week. Look at the seventh inning of the Blue Jays-Rangers game. You can't script that. You can't script it. Last night, Kentucky playing Auburn, right? Here's Kentucky driving down the field. Quarterback who can't run, tries to run for it on fourth down. Doesn't make it. Stanford's at home with UCLA, right? Rosen's having a really good year. Well, UCLA gets the ball deep in their own territory to start. The Holder kid, the corner, whose brother scored a touchdown for San Diego State in Beaver Stadium a couple weeks ago, picks off the pass, weaves his way through traffic, goes back for a touchdown. You can't script this stuff. You can't script how the Steelers won on Monday night. You can't script it. And that's what makes this completely different. That's why sports has been such a draw. I mentioned I had a long talk with Chris Fowler last night. And, and Christmas is game day. You know, what's interesting, though, is game day, he misses game day, but he knows he's locked in on the right thing doing games. He's really looking forward to the game tomorrow night. Yeah, Kirk Herbstreit's going to be in Ann Arbor in the morning to do game day. Then he'll fly in for the game tomorrow night. But you can't script any of this. But at the same time, the popularity is growing. And game day, which is now in its third year of the three-hour format,
actually had a ratings weekend last weekend where they had more viewers than at any time they have ever had in the three-hour format last weekend. And that's to their credit. They, you know, they put together a good show. Fowler, Chris Fowler did it for 25 years. He was the rock of Gibraltar on that show. The rock. You know how hard that is to do for 3 hours? To do what he did for 3 hours a week and make it seem easy and seamless. Now, Reese Davis, to his credit, does the same thing. But you know, we can nitpick about the show here and there, but that is, in college football, they put together quite a show there, and that's quite a cast that they have as well. So it's tomorrow night at 8, and we're on beginning at 6:30. Don't forget, Bucknell plays at Army tomorrow and Eagle 107, noon with an 11:30 airtime, Doug Birdsong, and also Kevin Herr on Eagle 107. Selins Grove and Eagle 107 tonight, Lewisburg on the Valley 100.9, and Milton on 1380 WMLP. And the game we'll have for you tonight, Shamokin taking on Shikellamy. That game at 7 o'clock tonight. Kevin and the Chief, Dave Ritchie on beginning at 6:30 this evening here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Our show today has been brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, Imports Domestics, Microbrews, best selection anywhere, water, snacks, soda. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The pickle bar is second to none. Stock up for the weekend tonight at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Privileged to be with you from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Have a great weekend, everyone. Our thanks to Tim May of the Columbus Dispatch, Stanley Jackson BTN, Paul Keels from the Ohio State Radio Network, the play-by-play voice, and also to Rich Scarsella of the Red Eagle. If you missed any of it, check it out on the Steve Jones Show podcast. Fun week, fun show. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we did presenting it to you. Coming up, news at the top of the hour, and then high school football tonight, 7 o'clock, 6:30 the airtime with Kevin and the Chief, Shikellamy and Shamokin, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Talk to you tomorrow night from Columbus, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.